pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two begins right now. 251-343-0106. April Murray Fogle in about 30 minutes, and then about an hour and a half, Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poor Show. Text line 251-343-0106. You want to be engaged, in touch. You got a question, comment, whatever it is. Hit us up on the text line. Let's keep rolling through some text here. Pat writes, can we the people not sue state government for the seemingly illegal spending of our tax dollars? Contracts were signed for a specific amount. Sounds like Ivy is just screwing us on our way out. I think the latter is true, but the contracts are written in a way that allows for this. They didn't have a set amount, Pat. The state essentially said, and they used the time, the urgency, if you will, as their license to do it this way. But it's an open-ended contract. They got to pick the contractor. There was no process there. There was no, okay, this is what, these are the plans for what we want you to build. They didn't design and engineer it for the land they built it on. They just said, okay, what had happened? The governor years earlier had tried to do it without the legislature. She tried to build prisons without the legislature voting on it. And the concept there was as follows. We are going to let a private company build prisons. They are going to be the owners. And we're going to pay them rent. And that will come out of whatever the general fund allotment for corrections is. It sounds too good to be true. And then at the end of the lease, we'll buy the prisons from the company that built them. And everybody will be happy. And the governor signed the paperwork. And it was like her comm staff, I don't know, like one of the worst photo ops I'd ever seen. Because it's a stack of papers on her desk and she's signing the bottom sheet or whatever. Knowing full well she didn't read all that paperwork. But it was emblematic of government. Well, the deal is made, and then this company, Core Civic, which is like a consortium of like a prison, you know, sort of management company, a construction company, engineering company, whatever. They're going to be the owners. Well, they needed the capital to go and build it. So they go to borrow the money. Guess what? There's not a lender out there. It's at the height of the Black Lives Matter movement. This is, but I kind of wonder also in retrospect, they looked at it and said, this is a bad deal as well. But the line we got from at least the state government, the state of Alabama, was, well, the Black Lives Matter guys scared off these lenders and we're going to have to find another approach. But my guess is the lenders are like, you want to do what with what? And you're going to be good for, we don't know about that. So it sounds like a great deal for us. Hard pass. So anyway, the state, the governor is like, after like consuming all this time, the majority of her term has to go to plan B, which is going to require the Alabama legislature to borrow the money. Well, the clock is ticking. You got J-Town. You got the other, at the time, you had the other U.S. attorneys. Hey, you guys better build these prisons. We're coming for you. We're filing a suit in federal court. We will take them over. Oh, we better act fast. Okay. So, the legislature has called it a special session. And it was mildly controversial because what they had wanted to do was, it sounded too good to be true, and I kind of fell for it at the time because it just, okay, here's how we're going to do it. We have this money that the federal government has given us for COVID relief. We have a budget surplus of X amount of dollars, and we'll be able to borrow the rest. The legislature's good for it. We could get the lenders. For some reason, at the time, I thought it was very strange. Okay, the legislature is able to borrow money in this, like, politically hot time, anti-prison, anti-incarceration, Black Lives Matter era, but these private companies aren't. Well, they know that the state will be good for it. The state has a guaranteed income source in the form of your tax dollars. And it was mildly controversial, but the more controversial aspect of this was to get the entirety of the legislature to go along with this plan. There were some Republicans and a lot of Democrats who wanted to kind of crack down on the pardons and paroles process. They wanted more opportunity for early release. And I remember DAs, Pam Casey, a bunch of others were like, what are you guys doing? Why are you agreeing to this deal? And it kind of took the spotlight off the funding mechanisms because we're sitting here, they're going to put criminals out on the streets to get a few Democrat votes to go along with this cockamamie deal. Well, such as it was, everybody got what they wanted and we were on our way. A year pass. What's going on with the prisons? I don't know. There's not much going on out there where they want to build it. What about the Elmore County? What about the Escambia County prison? Oh, and you would hear from like lawmakers and they would tell you, oh, they're out there doing work. You just don't see it. 2 years pass. Same thing. 3 years, they start breaking ground. And you're kind of scratching your head wondering, wow, what happened to, like, time is of the essence? There's this urgency. The federal government's coming. And we're in the middle of the Biden administration when you would think that these bleeding heart liberals who are in power there, where the woke orthodoxy reigns supreme, they would move fast. Nope. Turns out, hardly a peep out of the Biden-era U.S. attorneys in Alabama about Alabama prisons. Well, somewhere along the way, hey guys, we're out of money here and we're going to need a lot more money to build this one prison than we thought. Oh, what? 100 million? No. 2, 3? No. Try $500 million. Wow. That's almost double. Yeah, but we feel pretty good about it. Well, okay. Then they slowly over time, the money that they had allocated for two prisons, they're not even able to build one prison for it. So what are you going to do? Well, how could they do this, you ask? Well, when they passed the law, they left open the opportunity for this borrowing capacity. So essentially you have a construction management deal with no hard limit on it. And you don't really, at the time we didn't know this, but we know it now, you didn't really have a solid plan going forward to build these things. You just kind of threw a number out there with the expectation the public would go along with it. And the public did. But deep buried in the language of that legislation was, hey, if something goes wrong, they can borrow more money. Well, something's apparently gone wrong here. That's how they're able to do it. And the time has come when they're having to do it. But there's just not a really good explanation as to why. What went wrong? And when you do ask what went wrong, well, you know, the Biden economy and you know, we didn't have that much inflation. We had some bad inflation. Prices are up. But they grossly underestimated. And it's getting to the point where you can't just say, well, it was some mild incompetence. It's almost as if they intentionally lowballed it. It just feels that way. And now they have a blank check, an unlimited checkbook. And yes, guys, those right wing crazy guys like Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, or whoever, Sean Sullivan, you just ignore them. They don't really represent. And besides, you already won your election. You're going to be fine. You don't need to worry about this. Well, can the governor give us some cover? No, we don't know where she is right now. She's probably at her lake house. Who knows what where Governor Ivey is. At least Tommy Tuberville has vowed to do a forensic audit here. But it just reeks of, uh-oh, time is running out and we are out of money. We got to do something before the new governor and the new legislature get here. Mike, any guy dating those women who are sympathetic to the lady who murdered her three sons should definitely be reconsidered for their relationship. Because those people are crazy. And then Mike also writes, also, it's wild that those two prisons are going to cost more than the bridge we're getting told for. We're not quite there, but who knows? Mike. Chris, why don't you call the prison system? Exactly what is subsidized welfare? Look at where the prisoners are located. Look at the idiots that work there in them subsidized welfare. Yeah, the correction system is grossly mismanaged. It's corrupt on the inside. I've talked to lawmakers. One who's on contract review tells me he suspects some mild criminal activity with prison contracts, or at least corrections contracts, but there's no way of like determining that. They're a legislative body, not an investigatory body. We know it's corrupt on the inside because of the contraband. We have asked the prison system. They're not exactly returning our calls. Paul writes, you know it's Kickback City. He says there's tons of corruption in that prison. Hey, Paul, the part about the yacht, we've already talked about that on the air. 251-343-0106. We'll keep reading your texts on the other side, so keep them coming. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. It was useless. Them people all were fools. Those Curtis Snow was the finest picker to ever play the blues. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow inside. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Joel, how many of their buddies are getting rich by making millions of dollars, the contractors on this prison? I think it's a fair question at this point. Rock and roll doctor. U.S. government debt is 105% of annual GDP. We don't have the money. Congress knows this. You've been tracking the recent government bond issue slash demand. It's not good at all. Interest rates are about to get worse. Get the spending in order now or face 1980s interest rate scenario. I don't disagree. But the whole bike path thing, I mean, another problem is, rock and roll doctor, you're never going to get Congress not to spend. I hate to say it. Sure, you could elect a member or two here and there, but they tend to be relegated to the back benches. Ask Mo Brooks, Thomas Massey, Gosar, those kind of guys. Nate Texter, Republican, moderate. I think Trump with data centers and generally unfriendly to environmental issues is going to hurt the party. I don't know. How much are people paying attention? Is that the whole data center slash flock camera thing? And look, I get it, but I don't know how much of it is a reflection of like people's, if it's really showing up on people's radars. Gas prices do. The data center, we don't like them, but all throughout the fruited plain from sea to shining sea, how many people have a data center in their neighborhood that's impacting their life on a daily basis? And that number is a lot smaller. And they text you, hey, Jeff, how much longer can the United States economy hang on before it goes off a cliff? Probably a while. We do have, we're blessed with natural resources, a work ethic you don't find in a lot of other countries, a productivity. And if it does go off a cliff, we're not going to be Zimbabwe or Venezuela. But there will still be economic activity in America. The government may suffer, and that may impact people's lives. Butter and I, for the next 6 years, the people of South Carolina voted to have someone other than their senator running the show. I guess they didn't listen to their own words complaining about Biden. Well, it's just like Will Hampson and I talked about yesterday. That we're not, Trump's going to be gone. Then what? Burnoff also writes, Democrats are no better, but your guests just made the Republican Party look completely stupid, trying to get some senators elected who have no business being a senator. Both parties are driving the country down the drain. Jeff, off topic, why do I own my house and pay property tax? Am I essentially renting my land that my own home sits on? Just doesn't make sense. You have the way the government would view it is it's an asset and you have the privilege of being in that wherever your jurisdiction is collecting the taxes. It's not a property taxes in Alabama are low. And that just kind of goes back to this legacy in the last century when the farmers or back then the planters were in charge of the state. They didn't want high taxes on their acreage. Good morning, Joe. Nice job last night. Will that lead to Josh Mood appearing on this show? Also, will you be in a suite for the LA Inglewood concert now that you're official? No, I'm not. I guess things I got to cut. I mean, I had to cut back on some of the games this year. Hope to get back to full speed next year, but I don't know how official it is doing the wrap-up show for Tiger Talk. Maybe after it grows some, Jason. But thanks for the compliment. One more, Leo. Reference 1980s interest rates. I can't wait. I have lots of cash in the bank, and everything that I own is paid for. Good for you, Leo. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. When the dealing's done. Every gambler knows. Secret.
Cause it's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the purple sky.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. If you want to get in touch with the program, hit us up on that text line. So come about an hour from now, Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poor Show, entertaining, even if you don't agree with him. But joining us now, she is in the middle of hosting a radio show in Montgomery, but has taken time away from her fill-in duties to come on this program, April Murray Fogel. From 1819 News. April Marie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am fired up this morning about all of the insanity related to the Lindsey Clancy case.
Good, because I can't make heads or tails of it, because if you're going to kill your three kids, you have to be crazy.
Yeah, you have to be crazy or evil or some combination thereof. The question is, are you clinically crazy in a way that gets you off of the charges? And I just don't think the evidence supports that. But the bigger issue beyond that are the women who are out there supporting her in ways that are frightening. If I'm a young man today and, you know, looking for a spouse, looking for the mother of my children, I'm going to start vetting every single woman I go out with for her social media during this trial, because some of these people making excuses for this woman, and that should be a big old red flag.
It should. The postpartum thing, I don't know. She looked like she was on a cocktail of psychotic medication. I don't think she should get off, but it's like we have to make this black or white choice with her. And yeah, the public reaction is gonna, you know, whatever, but I guess I don't have much confidence in a jury in Plymouth, Massachusetts, that not to be a panel of bleeding heart females.
Yeah. I mean, the courtroom, that, you know, they had to kick out one of the people who was covering it for a features piece for Vanity Fair, because she was going a little goo-goo, gaga. She knew the girl. I think this is one of those tests where, you know, again, you look at the evidence and you go, okay, she planned this. She meticulously executed this. She had more help than just about any American. Like, think about, you know, somebody having the amount of support she had, her husband,
well,
her mother.
Hold on, because the premise, and I want to investigate that. Did you believe she meticulously planned this and had capacity enough to do this?
Absolutely. The tracking, the, you know, how far away is the restaurant? How long does he have to do? Giving him a side errand to go get Miralax. Like, I think that this was meticulously planned. The fact that she only claimed to have heard voices only during this one, you know, one moment in time. I think she planned this, and I think it's going to be an absolute travesty, not just for the justice of her kids, but in the message it sends other women or sends others about using mental health as a defense.
Well, but we've always had the insanity plea, and that's just part of American justice. But, I mean, is it possible they could find her guilty of manslaughter or something? And even if the sentence is, you know, a lifetime in a facility somewhere, I don't know. I think there's enough circumstances here. Does it warrant the death penalty? They don't do the death penalty up there anyway.
No.
But it's not a simple case. And
it's certainly not.
You have to base the idealistically, we're talking here, what the law says and the interpretation of the law. Like I said, we have an insanity defense in American jurisprudence.
We do. And you look at where, you know, I think these days, and I, you know, for myself, I'm watching all of these violent crimes and taking hers aside. You see how many of the violent crimes we see around the United States where we have the mentally ill going in and out of our jail system, specifically men who are committing crimes against women, and in public places. And that there's a mental health crisis in this country. There's no doubt. The question was this woman, did she have psychosis? She clearly had depression. She might have had some kind of, bipolar situation thing going on. But to me, and what we were talking about this morning, is the national response to this, because I find it surprising. I find it crazy that there are women by the dozens packing into the courtroom to support her.
Well, see, I'm not as surprised by that. We've known that a lot of people in our society have jumped to Sharkle for a long time. And, there were people during the Michael Jackson pedophilia thing that were cheering Michael Jackson on. There's just crazy people out there. But, the legal aspect of this is kind of dumbfounding. And, I guess what we need out of this, and this is what society needs, is like some clear ground rules here, some clear, direction that courts take in these circumstances so that we could prevent this from happening ever again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, the kind of precedent that is set by if she is found guilty by insanity, did they end up putting her in an institution? I think, this is one of those where we have to have a tough conversation as a nation and say, this can't be a get out of jail free card, right? Like this, she killed three.
No, I agree with you there. But is it a murder charge? Does it rise to that level? Is it guilt beyond the presumption of innocence? That's hard to prove given the circumstances of the case.
Yeah, it's what's crazy to me, and this goes back, and this I brought in the Candace Owens, Erica Kirk thing, is what's crazy to me is the amount of women who are online. Like, if only, imagine these women who spend all day, every day online, and there was the big, all these women doing it for the Candace Owens stuff, and now these same women, kind of this Lindsay Clancy trial. Imagine if they were doing something productive with their time, if they were doing something productive with their life. I think this is just another example of where society has gotten too online. I mean, remember the big cases we used to see? We used to see the OJ case. We saw the Casey Anthony case.
Let me tell you my theory on this. And I think this is a media creation. And that's where all these women you're seeing online get engaged. Because after OJ, cable news networks looked and said, look what we could do here. I mean, we get a ratings bonanza. The blow by blow politics. We could hit the pause button on that. And in these times of a slow or boring news cycle, and I think we've hit that point, because how much can you just badger Donald Trump and people start tuning it out? And they're looking around and they're saying, let's do something different. And let's go back to Crime Time and Prime Time and Nancy Grace and, that era of cable news. And I've been kind of watching this right now. CNN has been in and out. Fox has been wall to wall, News Nation wall to wall, but neither MS Now or Newsmax have even mentioned it. And, those two that haven't mentioned it are the more ideological, political outlets. The others, I think, are just kind of looking at advertisers, looking at, abysmal ratings. And this is a bigger ratings getter than, the White House ballroom or whatever.
Exactly. We could be talking about beef imports, exports, or we can be talking about, an entire generation of women defending a woman who killed her kids. And this one over here has got a lot, people have strong opinions about it. Like I said, I've talked about it for about half an hour today. It's and people do, they are really strong. Death penalty. She'd let her walk. Those are very different positions to end up on looking at the same evidence.
Yeah. And as a side note, CNN is also talking about the Tupac murder trial. So there's what? There's something going on here in our news culture, and it comes at a strange time because typically in a midterm election cycle, even they don't do this. They stick to the blow by blow politics. Fox, I guess it makes sense because what are we going to do? Talk about how much gas is? People don't want to hear about that if you're a loyal Fox News viewer.
Groceries prices?
Yeah, you know, but CNN, well, you know, if you want a wall-to-wall anti-Trump, you're going to go to the pros over on MS Now. And, you know, the News Nation guys, it's my guilty pleasure. I watch a lot more of that these days. This is about what they do. This is kind of where they are. They're just, you know, trying to figure out. They don't necessarily have an ideology, even though I think they lean left. Their objective is getting more viewers, not driving home an agenda.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to watch. This is crazy to watch. But we have seen things that have taken over news cycles. The Nancy Guthrie case, you know, we've seen some things take over the cycles and you go, wait, what just happened here? Are we, what's happening in Iran? I don't know. What's happening? You know,
boring. Exactly. No one wants to watch that.
Exactly. And that's this small attention span and again, the ability, people are really mad on both sides. My ex account is women on the right just going after these women on the left, defending her. And there's very little room for nuance here.
That's where my wife is. She's not, you know, a Lindsey Clancy supporter at all. Can you just, I mean, it's so far out of her comprehension, but like, I, you know, you try to look at this objectively and take the emotion out of it. That's hard. But like, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm married to one, but I'm not a lawyer. And I look at this and I can't help but see it two different ways. And I just, it gets to the jury. I'm not on the jury. You're not on the jury, but you think in Plymouth, Massachusetts, there's going to be a bunch of, sort of right, center right, conservative women? I don't think so. I think she's about to, I don't think she's going to walk. But I think there's going to be, they're not, the prosecution's not going to get what it wants out of this trial.
It is, which is insane to me. You know, I have a very, and you know, we're all of, I think all of our, as parents, we're shaped by our childhood, right? So I tell my kids from an early age that my job is to protect them. So to me, in my head, it's completely out of any realm of reality.
Exactly. But that gets to the heart of the matter, which is this doesn't, who would do this?
There's no.
You've got to be crazy. This doesn't make sense. This is totally irrational.
But on the other hand, that's not necessarily what her supporters are saying. They're saying we can understand how she got there. And I'm going, no, you can't understand. Who can understand? Like, in what world do you understand?
Yeah. Well, I hope they don't have an understanding. And we got a lot of problems, as you said earlier. You need to start vetting these women, all these single men out there. But I guess it's kind of like what we need to look at is like what's going on in the culture. This is not something. This seems like sort of I would say a relatively new phenomenon. But it's the giving the benefit of the doubt here is something you would not have been acceptable and polite company 20 years ago. And there's just way more of that right now in society.
I want to go back to the point in which there were no circumstances, because this has happened before, right? The woman who put her kids in a car and drove it all into the water. And there weren't a lot of people lining up to say, you know what, let's defend her. I think that this is another one of those examples of a digital age. The digital age has changed things. And not for the better.
Well, I mean, maybe, but, you know, like I said, the algorithms and what people care about. And, I get the intrigue of this. Like, it's an interesting legal discussion, but it's also that emotional side of it that maybe is not appealing to guys, but more to females. about women and you know, your the how sacred your children are and how, you know, could you imagine a woman doing that to her old children? They think about, could you imagine doing, you know, they put themselves in her shoes and there's no circumstances there where that's an acceptable outcome. And then that's where there's the fork in the road, I suppose. Like, oh, I could see myself being that crazy. And you're like, whoa. Or it's
definitely whoa. Like, hey, mom, me and the kids are coming to visit for a while. We're going to leave wifey at home.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go find me a place in some faraway South American country, you know, with no extradition treaty. If it came down, if something like that were going on and I needed to protect my kids. But I don't know. You think about it and what should the legal standard be? And there's just not one.
I don't know. Yeah, this is one of those things where, and then what does, you know, post verdict, where do we go? What if anything changes? What is the response? Because I think that's going to be a whole thing too. So I'm watching it. It's crazy. The GoFundMe for her parents raising over $1 million. I think that says a lot. We've changed. We've has some weird things going on.
Well, my hope here is, we'll get you out of here, is, you know, that this court case, however it goes, they got to figure out a way to make sure something like this never happens again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think the standard of care, the 13 medicines and the 6 doctors/therapists and the just the continuity of care that was not there, that she did not receive. And this is a point that I think has to be said is, we talk a lot about people who don't get care. There's no options for them. They don't have the money for the co-pays. This woman had everything at her fingertips, from support of family to the ability for
medication. But it just looks like she was out doctor shopping or just looking. Was she looking for answers or was there something going? I mean, that's a lot of different drugs they flash up on the screen every time they talk about this case.
13 drugs total. And some of those are the first ones, you know, you walk in, they the first thing they're going to do, you got the postpartum blues, they're going to start tossing these things.
And you start mixing candy. Them and we don't really have good medicine, you know, to say how they interact with one another, I would think.
It is. That's a very real issue. And so hopefully, again, the takeaway from this, and I've seen, you know, some medical experts doing the rounds talking about this is going to change the standard of care, just because now doctors are going to have to realize, because there's a civil suit going on. And so the doctors are going to have to change their standard of care and start talking to each other and start, you know, paying attention.
April, where folks will find you online, where they look?
Best place is 1819 News for my latest education coverage. And then on X, APRYLMARIE.
April Marie Fogel, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time. Flirting with the flight attendant. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Moby with the Memphis Blues again. Mona tried to tell me to stay away from the train.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Parker Griffey of Up in About 45 Minutes, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Porch Show. So please stick around for that unnamed texter. Republican moderate, I think Trump with data centers and generally unfriendly towards environmental issues is going. Oh, we already read that. That's for some reason that one came in once again. Jason, I'd say most of those soulless lunatic women supporting her are pro-abortion and don't value a child's life at any point. Yeah, and maybe that's something we think about. I mean, we are a very secular country. We didn't used to be this way, and there's like a me first mentality. It's hard to break free of that. Sometimes it's just maturity. That you got to live for something bigger than yourself. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're onto something there, Jason. Because I think that's where the whole abortion hysteria lies. It comes out of that you know, I'm not going to be able to have the life that I want to have with a baby. I don't want to go through this ordeal. I don't want to go through motherhood. I don't think that I'm ready for it. Without the concern, it's me, I, and not the concern of that life form inside you. And maybe this is an extension of that. 251-343-0106. More of your text on the way. Stay tuned. This is the Jeff Port Show on FM Talk 106.5. And look.